This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Thursday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. It is Technology Thursday. Some tips on improving Zoom meetings, now that many of us have been having them for several months. If you're especially looking for a job, they expect you to look professional on those Zoom meetings. We'll give you some tips. Also, we'll talk about how the shutdown in Illinois is impacting manufacturers in the state and how they think the governor should move forward. Right now, we'll talk about those jobless claims. A suffering workforce indeed. Brian Westbury is chief economist at First Trust Advisors based in Wheaton. Brian, it's good to have you back on the show. So kind of give us a thumbnail of these jobless numbers and what they mean. It's not good.
No, it is not, Cisco. Great to be with you. However, I mean, we had another 2.5 million, or really 2.4 million people last week apply for unemployment benefits. We are now up to 25 million people receiving unemployment benefits. However, obviously these numbers are ugly. We all knew it was happening when you shut down the economy. This is what happens. However, we peaked at the end of March with 6.9 million people filing for benefits. And every week since then, the numbers have come in lower and lower. They're still huge compared to history, but actually we are beginning to see a little bit of improvement in the economy. And just let me give me another 20 seconds here. There are daily and weekly data that we can look at. For example, we know how many people go through the TSA checkpoint every day at airports. That number bottomed at 80,000 people about 6 weeks ago, and it's now up to about 250,000 people a day. So we are seeing some improvement, even though the economy is still way below where it was a year ago.
So there is some improvement. That's good. And let's talk about the home sales number and what that shows. I guess
right.
Probably not unexpected that fewer people would be buying homes.
Yeah, exactly. And as was said on your Bloomberg report, it's just hard to show them. And people want to see. I mean, the virtual tours, I guess that works if you saw it before the shutdown. You want to see it one more time. But if you're not able to touch it, see it, walk around it, it's really difficult. And so it's no wonder that these numbers are getting worse. One thing to remember is that these monthly data points, quarterly data points, they all come with a big lag. And that's why I think it's really important for us to look at those daily and weekly data that we can get. Number of people going to movie theaters is starting to climb. Hotel occupancy is bouncing off the bottom. Everything's a lot lower than it was a year ago, but we're starting to see, as states open up, and we would expect this to happen, people are moving around more and doing more business. So eventually these numbers will improve, but we're in the midst of one of the worst contractions we've seen since the 1930s.
Now, briefly here, when it comes to, not a lot of houses are selling, does that mean that there's anything going on with prices? I mean, are prices actually going up if you are able to sell your house?
You know, what's interesting is that the price data has actually jumped if we dig into these reports. Today was it was up 2.2% in the month, the price, average price. Now, I don't know whether that's because we're selling bigger homes or more expensive homes than instead of smaller homes. It may be, but we just don't have enough data to show that yet. But right now, prices are holding up. Boy, the money supply in the country today because of the Federal Reserve's actions is increasing rapidly, and typically that would foreshadow some inflation. I'm worried that the Fed has printed too much money here. I know we needed it, but it could cause inflation down the road.
Yeah, waiting, certainly. We're going to be watching the data on that later on in the year. I think a lot of people are concerned about that. Thank you so much, Brian Westbury, Chief Economist at First Trust Advisors. Just ahead, passengers are having a brand new experience at the airport. The TSA is adapting its security screening procedures as it works through the viral pandemic. Let's learn more from Michelle Cortez, health reporter at Bloomberg News, based in Minneapolis. Michelle, good to have you back with us. What is the TSA doing here?
So they are taking steps to try to protect their own workers and make sure that travelers are aware of what's expected of them. You know, we've all faced these really, really long TSA lines in recent months. Just think about what those lines are going to look like, Cisco, when we all have to be standing 6 feet apart. Like, we're going to be outside wrapping circles around these airports. But most specifically, what's happening is you're going to have to carry your stuff in, food and carry-on items in clear plastic bags, not just your liquids. And you're going to be handling all your own stuff, your boarding passes, that sort of equipment to get through the lines. You're not going to be handing stuff to the TSA agents. They're trying to limit that contact.
Now, as far as temperature checks, TSA at all looking out for people who might be ill, or are they not quite there yet?
They haven't actually started looking at temperature checks for passengers. Certainly, if you're sick, they expect you to not show up. I would imagine that there will be some kind of efforts that are made to identify people who are unwell. But the numbers of people going through airport lines, we don't have the technology to do it quick enough, really.
Now, there are some, if you don't have those big lines, some other places, schools, businesses, they do have these contactless temperature checking devices, these kiosks that are being created. Wonder if many businesses are going to be using those for employees.
Yes. Well, for employees and for venues, those are things where you can go in, you can get your temperature checked. It sends a notification to your phone about whether or not your temperature is in an acceptable range to allow you to get into an event. Those are the sort of things that we could be seeing at airports. We could be seeing at offices. We're going to be seeing them at music events and that sort of a thing. They're pretty expensive. They cost thousands of dollars. And we don't know exactly how accurate they're going to be. At this point, the early studies that they've been doing do show high degrees of accuracy, but you know, once you've had thousands and thousands of people through, it's early technology. We're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, see just how well it goes. New York City, things are looking up. They're actually saying early June they may begin their reopening.
Yeah, well, New York is a city as a vibrant, right? We have all these reports about people who are fleeing the city. They're moving out. They're, you know, if they're young, they're going home and living with their parents. If they're older, they're looking for houses in the suburbs. It's really interesting what's going to happen to the markets there. But New York is a vibrant place. They need tourists to come in. They need to be able to go to Broadway and Times Square. It's all close, personal, kind of exciting, electric, and you can't really do it from a distance or socially distanced. So we are going to start seeing that, though, that they're ready to open it up and start getting people back in. Mid-June is what they're saying.
Thanks so much. Michelle Cortez, health reporter at Bloomberg News. Just ahead, manufacturers in Illinois are not on board with the state's reopening plan.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A trade group is voicing its objection to Governor Pritzker's five-phase reopening plan for Illinois. We're joined by Steve Rauschenberger, president of Technology and Manufacturing Association. He's based in Schaumburg. Steve, good to have you with us here. So I guess in general, give us sort of a brief thumbnail sketch. What happens to manufacturing when it gets shut down like this? I'm guessing it's not a matter of flip a switch and everything gets back to full capacity.
That's right. Manufacturers, in order to plan and to bring their workers back, need certainty. The idea that the governor is going to flip the switch and evaluate and do news conferences daily and update us on our progress is just not a way to reopen an economy. We've got families and manufacturers and jobs that all depend on certainty and being able to plan.
So is there a way to get manufacturing started, differently in a way that is still safe?
Yes, if you think about it, small manufacturers, medium-sized manufacturers are like an extended family. The public does not enter manufacturing plants. There's no customers. There's no traffic in them. These are people that are together on a consistent basis. So they already are practicing OSHA requirements and CDC requirements. Then there hasn't been a COVID outbreak in a manufacturing plant in the state of Illinois in this whole crisis. Manufacturing is not the danger point.
So the manufacturing in Illinois is downstate in areas really reliant on manufacturing. What has it been like in some of those areas?
Well, I think things are tough all over the state of Illinois. Probably as many as one out of three manufacturing employees are either furloughed or being laid off right now. We've got a lot of problems with the big manufacturers not producing. So when Ford's not producing and Caterpillar's not producing, the people that make the parts aren't making parts. So it's a real problem. And all of this kind of sort of focus on the wrong part of the epidemic is what's causing a lot of the economic problems.
So what would the members of your association like to see the governor do differently as far as getting plants reopened?
Move to phase five as quickly as possible. The idea that the state of Illinois can wait until there's a vaccine is just completely unimaginable. It doesn't make any sense at all. There have been over 10 COVID viruses over the course of the last 30 years. There's not a vaccine for any of them. So to try to assure people that they can be completely safe anywhere is the wrong thing for government to do. We need to open up the manufacturing plants, protect the people that are vulnerable, the older people, the people with complicating medical things ought to be safe, and we ought to protect the people in nursing homes. That's where our COVID outbreaks are. They're not taking place in manufacturing plants.
So that means in the plants, masks, social distancing, that sort of thing, and that could get the plants running?
We're already practicing those things, and we still don't have permission to open non-essential manufacturing. So all of the symptomatic, all of the cleaning, all of the spacing is taking place already. We need the governor to kind of pull back the checklist and let us all get back to work and plan so that we can get the cars being made and get the Caterpillar tractors in production.
That is Steve Rauschenberger. He is president of Technology and Manufacturing Association here in Illinois.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. The next phase of the Restore Illinois plan is expected to kick in a week from tomorrow. President Trump heads to Michigan with people wondering whether he will wear a mask. Teleconference calls are now part of everyday life. We'll learn how to improve their quality in technology Thursday. Some areas of the retail sector are actually thriving in the viral pandemic. On Wall Street, the Dow down 75, NASDAQ is down 58, and the S&P is down 17 points. Oil is up about 0.25%. We have some sunshine in Chicagoland, a few clouds as well as we head to a high of 70 degrees. Right now it's 64 degrees, 54 downtown. Illinois is poised to move into the next part of its reopening strategy late next week.
Governor Pritzker says when the state transitions to phase three of his Restore Illinois plan, which is set to happen on May 29th, restaurants and bars will be allowed to serve customers outdoors as long as safety precautions are taken.
And give our hospitality industry a much needed boost as they work to keep their businesses on their feet during this terrible crisis.
Pritzker also announced groups of 10 or fewer will be allowed to gather outdoors as long as they maintain social distancing and wear face coverings when necessary. Pritzker says he'll also allow indoor and outdoor tennis courts to reopen, and he'll allow golfers to play in foursomes.
Carts will also be permitted with only one person per cart or one immediate household per cart.
The move comes as the state reported its lowest number of COVID-19 hospitalizations since it began keeping track. Jim Goodis, News Radio, 105.9 FM.
President Trump will be in Michigan today.
The president will tour a Ford Motor plant now making ventilators and masks. This week, Ford said it advised the White House that its policy is for everyone at the plant to wear a mask. And in an open letter to Mr. Trump, Michigan's attorney general noted facial coverings in enclosed public spaces are required by the governor's executive order. The president, who's yet to be seen in public wearing a mask, has said he would wear one if he felt it appropriate. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
If you're among the many now working from home, ask your smart speaker to play WBBM News Radio for all the latest developments.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Markets are lower, not much though. Let's get some thoughts from Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management, based in Greenwich, Connecticut. Vahan, what do you make of what you're seeing today?
Oh, I just think it's a bit of a sell-off. We've had a really nice run in the market. I think there's just a little bit of profit taking going on. But, you know, if you look at what's been going on since we hit bottom on March 23rd, the S&P is up 35% since then, and it's really only down about 13% from its peak in February. And so a lot of times, you know, people will ask me, you know, why is the stock market actually doing, you know, so well if the economy is not? And, of course, the answer to that is that the stock market doesn't really care what's happening now. It's looking ahead, and it's trying to predict what will happen 6 months from now or a year from now. And, you know, if we can get the economy open, if we can get people back to work, then we should have a couple of really bad quarters, but then we'll bounce back from that. So I think the market's looking ahead, and it's probably right.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. So looking ahead, tell us, why do you think it's right? Do you think that even if it is slow, that we are going to hit a recovery maybe 9-12 months from now?
Yeah, I do. I think we will have a recovery. You know, there are a number of companies that have very positive results now when it comes to a vaccine. There are other companies working on therapeutics. I think the market is looking at all this and thinking that, look, there's a good chance that, you know, within a year or so, we're going to have this virus under control. And that even before we have a vaccine that's available for everybody, we will have significant numbers of people going back to work. They may be taking precautions. They may be wearing masks when they're traveling to work and when they're actually in the office. They may be socially distancing even at work, but people will be going back to work. And I think the market's looking at that and saying that, okay, once we get over the rough patch, we're going to have a big drop in GDP, but it's going to be temporary. We have a huge increase in the unemployment rate, but it's going to be temporary, and eventually these things are going to work themselves out. So looking a year ahead, we should be okay.
Are there areas that have maybe been hit hard or harder than others that you think are poised for a rebound once that recovery begins?
Yes, I think retail, for example, is poised for a rebound. In fact, today we're seeing in the market a lot of the retailers are up pretty strongly. When you look at stocks like Bed Bath & Beyond and even Macy's and L Brands, these stocks are up pretty strongly today while the rest of the market is down. So I think the retail sector will bounce back. I think some of the other areas that have been hit very hard may take a little longer, like, you know, cruise ships, for example. I think people will be reluctant to go on cruises for quite a while. Anything related with travel, the airlines may struggle for a while. But even the airlines, I think, will come back eventually because people are not going to change their way of life permanently, and people have relatively short memories. So once there's a vaccine, I think we go back to normal.
Are there any concerns about all of the money that has been pumped into the economy to try to lessen the blow of this economic hardship?
Yes, absolutely. You know, first of all, our national debt was absolutely huge even before this, and now it's even bigger. We're going to have to worry about, you know, getting that debt under control. I think it's inevitable that tax rates are going to be increased, and especially if the Democrats win the White House in the fall, I think all of the tax cuts we saw in the Trump administration will be reversed.
Bahan Janjigian, he is Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management, based in Greenwich, Connecticut. Always good to have you on the show, Bahan. Up next, Technology Thursday, giving your Zoom call a professional look.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Just ahead, parents having trouble finding backyard pools, bikes, trampolines to keep the kids busy this summer. That's in our next segment. Now, in the age of Zoom, everyone has to become a TV director. Let's get some help from Paul Hockman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, I would guess that this is especially important if you're someone who maybe has to do a job interview on Zoom now.
That's right. In fact, you know, in some ways, everybody's doing a job interview, even if it isn't officially an interview, meaning that, you know, for the first, say, few weeks of the pandemic, when people were shut into their homes and doing lots and lots of Zoom conferences, people forgave a lot. In other words, if, you know, you looked a little rugged or a little rough, and or the cat was in your lap, okay. However, those things have changed. And so people looking good, it sort of matters. And obviously job interviews are a vital part of that. But there are some techniques that can help.
So give us some of those, because there's still some people I know. I mean, I'll just give you one. I'm on a lot of Zoom meetings and I still notice a lot of people with the camera down below them, which really gives me a nice view up their nose.
Yeah. Yep. And well, I like that too. There are options. For example, really good tips. Marlena Dietrich, who was a film star in the, you know, the 30s, sort of insisted to her director, key light low, camera high. What that means is if you're going to get lit, in other words, if you're going to have lighting in front of you, have it below you a little bit or below your eye line. What that does is it reduces the amount of wrinkles that you seem to have. If you're tired and there's sort of bags under your eyes, that doesn't show up as much. So if the light is below your eye line, that's flattering. And put the camera up. And if the camera's in your laptop, put your laptop up on a few books, so that basically you're looking straight ahead into the camera lens. So those two things, the light low and the camera high, actually go about 90% of the way to making you look better.
Now, what about the sound? What about the microphone? Some people are buying external microphones. Is that a good idea?
Totally worth it. Here's why. Most microphones, and this is what you should check into when you get it, but most microphones are what they call directional, which means they receive only the sound that's coming to them straight ahead. So a lot of the reflected sound in your room, say your room is echoey, or there are noises coming from other parts of the house, which is common when you're at home. The microphone will only pick up the sound coming from you, basically, if it's pointed at you. Result, your sound is much better. You seem healthier, better, and so forth to the viewer. So if it's an interviewer and your sound is great and your light is pretty good, that's awesome. And the one lighting tip I would give you is there used to be very expensive only a few years ago, but LED ring lights. Look up ring lights on, you know, Best Buy, Amazon, Walmart. They all have them. If you get something, and it sounds hyper technical, but 2500 Kelvin, 2500 K, is a fairly warm looking light. And if it's in a circle, it's very flattering. You can get a little stand. You don't have to do anything, but just set it up. So 2500K ring light will make you look great.
What about the background? I know at first it was really cute to see so many people doing their meetings from, you know, Mount Rushmore and the beach and everything. How important is the background now?
Yeah, I don't do my interviews in front of Mount Rushmore anymore. it saves on travel, but also it's really important. I think cutesy is out. What was sort of forgivable in the first few weeks of all this is now like, okay, let's take this sort of seriously, or at least remind us at you, the viewer, or want to be reminded that the person in the frame is actually thinking about you. So yes, don't put some funny, you know, sort of space race background behind you. But some people say, hey, no bookshelves and that kind of thing. I disagree. One of the last things I'd give you a tip on is we make videos for a living. This is what we do. Depth matters. In other words, a distance between the face, your face, and the background. If you're up against the wall, it looks like you're getting arrested, right? So if you want to make it look better, get closer to the lens than you are to your background. And the result will be it looks like you're separated, so to speak. That's the technical term. And you just look better.
All right. Good advice. Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media. That's Technology Thursday. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. Still to come, why you may have trouble buying a backyard pool, bike, or trampoline this summer.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Not every part of the retail sector is suffering from the viral pandemic. Let's check out some hot spots. Stephen Keith Platt is here, director of the Platt Retail Institute in Hinsdale. He's also a research director at the Retail Analytics Council at Northwestern. Stephen Keith, good to have you on here, man. I tell you, a lot of parents looking for things to do for their kids in the summer because a lot of park districts, other programs are shut down, and it seems like that's a rush on things like backyard pools.
Hi, Cisco. We've all finished buying 28 cans of baked beans and a lifetime of toilet paper, and people have to spend that discretionary income. We're not going to restaurants. We're not going to sporting events. So fixing up the house and planting in the garden, and, that's where the money's going.
I noticed backyard trampolines just sort of playing around online looking, and good luck finding one of those things.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a total run on being able to occupy your kids and figure out things to do this summer. You know, no summer camps, no programs for kids. And so parents have to be super creative, and they're all kinds of, you know, thinking the same thing.
Now, what about bikes? Run on those as well?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, the perfect activity, go outdoors and, you know, not be in a crowd and enjoy yourself and get away from the pandemic.
So are prices going up for these things? I mean, if there's a run on them, it would just make sense that people are able to charge a little more, at least a little.
I would think so in certain instances, Cisco, but most of the larger retailers, I mean, they set their price. The last thing a big major retailer wants to be known for is gouging people. You know, you lose a lot more in the long term than being credible and ethical. So I wouldn't really look to see a lot of that happening.
Parents trying to create some backyard oases. So I would imagine, yeah, you got the pool, probably also maybe those nice custom swing sets, places for the kids to climb around.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of our major retail clients, you know, they were asking us to help, predict the demand for seeds, you know, because they think a lot of parents are going to need to entertain themselves as well. So, fixing up the house, fixing up the garden, you got low gas prices and your stimulus check, you got to spend it somewhere.
And does this mean that there's also a market for used items as well? I guess you probably can't estimate that because that's not necessarily going on at retail stores.
Yeah. I couldn't really opine on that. But logically, if you can't buy it new, you're going to go somewhere you can buy it used for sure.
Yeah. Stephen Keith Platt, appreciate you being with us. He is director of the Platt Retail Institute in Hinsdale. He's also research director at the Retail Analytics Council at Northwestern University. If you missed any part of today's show, you can go to our stream and just skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function. It works both online and with the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.